Open your Bibles, please, to 1 John chapter 4, the fourth chapter of 1 John in your Scofield Bible, page 1324. We'll be reading verses 7 through 10. We'll read the verses responsively. The 10th verse is a text verse for this evening's message. We'll turn to another passage after we read this one. As is our custom here, First Baptist Church, let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that He might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Turn now to Romans chapter 3. In your Scofield Bible, page 1194. Make that 1195. We'll be reading verses 25 through 28, with our attention especially upon verse 26. 25 through 28, we'll read these responsively likewise. Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Let's pray. Father, You've given us a wonderful book. Thank You for Thy Word, and we thank You that we have a place here that we can come each and every service, and we can hear something from Your Word. It's always helpful. It's always something that we need. What a crime, what a sin it would be for us to shut it out, for our minds to be on something else. Give us, I pray, a Spirit-filled kind of service, that we who listen would be Spirit-filled as our preacher who preaches to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
There are two verses tonight that I want to emphasize. I'm going to read just these two verses for you without your turning to it again. One is this. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. People oftentimes ask me what I think is the greatest verse in the Bible. I do not know. I sometimes think it's John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory as of the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. However, if I put a gun to my head and said I had to give you what I think is the greatest verse in the Bible, I would probably say this verse. To declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. God could not save us without His justice being satisfied. And He must be the justifier because no one else was qualified to be the justifier. So His justice, He Himself, satisfied through Calvary His own justice, so that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. I want to speak tonight on the ultimate expression of God's love for us, our Heavenly Father. I come to a sermon like this with fear and trembling. How can anybody speak on the love of God? How can anybody explain the love of God? How can anyone describe the love of God? So I will sit down tonight after a while, and I will have failed. I will have attempted. I will have done my best, but I will have failed. But may I explain just a little bit more closely to reality what is the love of God. In Jesus' name, amen. This is not the kind of sermon, turn me up just a bit, please. This is not the kind of sermon that is your favorite. It's the kind that's my favorite. So I'm going to please me tonight and let you just do what you want to do. I know of no better news than that God loves you. That's the best news you'll ever hear. God loves you. How many times have I said from this pulpit, I do not know how many thousands of times I've said, God loves you. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned, unclean. I am so glad that my Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see, and this is the dearest, get that Jesus loves me. Love divine, all love excelling. Wonderful story of love, tell it to me again. Wonderful story of love, wake the immortal strain. Angels with rapture announce it, shepherds with wonder receive it. Sinner, oh, won't you believe it? Wonderful story of love. Let me say it again. I know no better news than the news that God loves you. I have no greater announcement to make than the announcement that God loves you. I have no greater information to give you or lesson to teach you than the lesson that God loves you. The Creator of this universe loves you. The only omnipotent one loves you. The only omniscient, that means the only all-perfect wise one, loves you. The only omnipresent, that means he's everywhere, loves you. The mighty God and everlasting Father loves you. The Ancient of Days loves you. Jehovah, God, loves you. The Sustainer of all life loves you. The Eternal God loves you. The God of glory loves you. The God of heaven loves you. The High and Holy One loves you. The God of hosts loves you. The God of Israel loves you. The only true and the living God loves you. The one who parted the waters of the Red Sea and then dried them up with the winds that he sent. That God loves you. The one that told time to stand still and caused the sun to stand still, and time was interrupted for a while. That God loves you. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide, loves you. Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah my banner, loves you. Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace, loves you. Jesus loves you, this I know, for the Bible tells you so. Little ones to him belong, they're weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves you. Yes, Jesus loves you. I said tonight, God loves you. God loves you, wayward person, outside the will of God, and wants to woo you back to himself. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God loves you, poor bus kid, living in the ghettos of Chicago. God loves you, mission man, away from home with your life seemingly wrecked and ruined and torn apart. God loves you, deaf ones, who cannot hear the gospel, but you see it through dedicated hands. God loves you, truck drivers, as you wind your way down the highway. God loves you, sailor lads, as you're training to serve your country. God loves you, aged people, facing the sunlight, a sunset years of your life. God loves you. I said, did you hear what I said? God loves you. God loves you. No wonder John wrote, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. No wonder Jeremiah reminds us that God has loved us with an everlasting love. That means that God loves you. He always has loved you. He always will love you. There's nothing you can do can separate you from the love of God. You may go into sin, but God will still love you. You may tip the right fantastic toe, but God will still love you. You may tip the bottle when it's red, but God still loves you. You may rustle unholy skirts, but God still loves you.
You backslide and not believe the word of God anymore, but God loves you. I said he loves you, as Jeremiah said, with an everlasting love. No wonder David said, he has set his love on me. No wonder John reminds us that we can abide in his love. And no wonder Paul wrote, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. And for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. He said, if I've lost, left out anything, that can't separate you either. No matter how high you go, he loves you. How deep you go, he loves you. How spiritual you are, he loves you. How unspiritual you are, he loves you. How close to God you walk, he loves you. How deep in sin you go, he loves you. No wonder Paul said, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Now let's measure his love for a while. Shall we put him on the scale, if you please? Shall we take a ruler and measure his love? Let's measure his love. First, let me measure it by saying, he first loved us. 1 John 4:17. We love him because he first loved us. What does that mean? That means God loved you before he loved anything else. He loved you before he loved anybody else. He first loved us. He loved you before he loved the fish of the sea. Before he loved the fowl of the air, he loved you. Before he loved the beast of the field, he loved you. Before he loved Michael, the archangel of protection, he loved you. Before he loved Gabriel, the archangel of messengers, he loved you. Before he loved the seraphim, he loved you. Before he loved the cherubim, he loved you. Before he loved the angelic host, he loved you. Before he loved any living creature, he loved you. Before he loved the sun, the moon, and the stars, he loved you. Before he loved the waters of the sea, he loved you. Before he loved the lilies of the field, he loves you. Before he loved the cedars of Lebanon, he loved you. Before he loved the nation Israel, he loved you. I'm saying he first loved us. But that isn't all. Not only does that mean in time he first loved us, but he first loved us in the size of his love, or the greatness of his love. Now let's go back and say, that means he more than he loved the fish of the sea, he loves you. He loves you more than loves the fowl of the air. He loves you more than loves the beast of the field. He loves you more than loved Michael, the archangel. He loved you more than loved Gabriel, the messenger archangel. He loves you more than loved the seraphim, the cherubim, the angels, all of the host of angels, all the living creatures, the sun, the moon, the stars, the waters of the sea, the lilies of the field, the cedars of Lebanon. I'm saying, God, I don't know why. Why didn't God love Gabriel more than he loved me? I don't know, but God loves me more than he loved Gabriel. I don't know why God loved me more than he loved Michael the archangel. I don't understand it. I don't know why God loved me more than loved the angel that came to Joseph and told Joseph, you go ahead and take Mary to be his wife. Or the angel that came to Mary and said, behold, you're going to conceive and bring forth a child, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. I don't understand why, but ladies and gentlemen, look at me, a frail creature of dust, a little hunk of dust held together by some moisture. God loves me more than he loves anything or anybody or any creature in the whole world. He first loved us. Let me take the measuring stick and measure a little more. God first loved us. Second, as I measure the love of God and get a little deeper, he so loved us. Now, so describes the infinite. I love you so much, the lover says. That song was so pretty, the listener says. That sermon was so good, the member says. That meal was so tasty, the eater says. Now, when God says he so loved us, he said there is no vocabulary known to mankind with which I can express my love. He first loved us, and he so loved us. No words can describe his love. No tongue can explain his love. No song can define his love. No pen can write his love. No orator can speak his love. No sculpture can chisel his love. No artist can paint his love. No philosopher can teach his love. No heart can feel adequately his love. No mind can imagine his love. No mathematician can figure his love. No theologian can comprehend his love. No architect can design his love. No builder can build his love. No seer can see his love. No prophet can understand his love. No soul can fathom his love, and no spirit can feel his love. What am I saying? I'm saying, does he love me as much as a wife loves a husband? Oh, more than that. Does he love me as much as a husband loves a wife? Oh, more than that. Does he love me more than a mother loves a child? Oh, more than that. Does he love me more than a father loves a child? Oh, more than that. Does he love me more than a child loves a dad? More than that. Does he love me as much as a child loves a mom? More than that. Does he love me as much as a brother loves a sister? More than that. Does he love me as much as a friend loves a friend? More than that. And all the loves up together. Mother for a child, and father for a child, and a child for a mother, and a child for a father, and a lover for a lover, and a friend for a friend, and a brother for a brother, and a brother for a sister, and a sister for a brother, and a sister for a sister, and a friend for a friend, and I'm all love. And you won't come close to God's love for you. Could we, with ink, the ocean fill, and with a sky of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the whole contain the scroll, though stretched from sky to sky. Congratulations, ladies and gentlemen! He first loved you! Congratulations! He so loves you! Let's continue to measure his love. He first loved you. He so loved you. Can I understand exactly the next point? He gave his son for you. Now you wait a minute. You wait a minute. Would you give your son for me? Of course not. He gave his son, his only begotten son. That's how much he loved you. He said goodbye to him for you. Jesus left the glories of heaven for you. He left the praises of the angels for you. He left the fellowship with the Father for you. He left the celestial beauty of glory for you. He left fellowship with the Old Testament saints for you. He left Jacob for you. He left Noah for you. He left Moses for you. He left Isaac for you. He left Abraham for you. He left Isaiah for you. He left Aaron for you, and David, and Jonah, and Daniel, and Jeremiah, and Joshua, and Ezekiel, and Hezekiah, and Gideon, and Joseph, and Samson. He left them for you. I'm saying God gave his son for you. How much does God love you? He first loved you. How much does God love you? He so loved you. How much does God love you? He gave his son for you. He gave his son to be rejected by his own synagogue. He gave his son to be expelled from his own hometown. He gave his son to be despised and rejected of men. He gave his son to be a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He gave his son to have no place to lay his head. Even foxes had holes. Even birds had their nest. But God gave his son, realizing that for 33 years he'd say goodbye to his son and be separated from his son. And his son would have no place to lay his head. He'd have no bed but a mountainside and no pillow but a rock. All the foxes went to their holes and the birds flew to their nest. That's how much he loved you. He loved you that he gave his son to be betrayed by one of the 12. He loved you enough to give his son to be forsaken by the 12. He loved you enough to have his son wrongly charged for you. He loved you enough to have his son wrongly indicted for you. Listen to me over here. Hey, listen while I'm preaching to you. I'm telling you about the love of God. Sit up and listen to it. You ought to be shouting instead of whispering. I said, God loves you. Sit there and whisper and make romance while I'm telling you that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and the Savior of the world and the King of Glory, He loves you. His son was wrongly charged. He gave his son to be wrongly charged for you. He gave his son to be wrongly indicted for you. He gave his son to be wrongly tried for you. He gave his son to be wrongly convicted for you. He gave his son. How much does God love you? We're measuring it. He loved you first. How much does God love you? He so loves you. How much does God love you? He gave his son. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I measure again. God loves you not only enough to give his son, but to give his son to die. Romans 5:8. God commendeth his love. God says, I recommend my love. I recommend my love, God says. God commendeth his love toward you in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for you. God not only loved you enough to give his son, he loved you enough to watch his son die. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine watching your son die? Can you imagine if this whole crowd needed, was lost, and the death of your son would save this whole crowd? Can you imagine watching your son nailed to a cross? Can you imagine watching your son beaten with a cat of nine tails? Can you imagine your son crying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Hey, ladies and gentlemen, why in the world don't you start living for God and do the things that God wants you to do and clean up your act and quit your rotten music and quit your dirty movies and start giving all to God? Why? He loved you first. He so loved you. He loved you enough to give his son. He loved you enough to watch his son die on the cross. That's how much he loves you. He watched his son. By the way, that's bad enough to watch your son suffer. It's worse than that when you could do something about it. Why didn't God send 10,000 angels to rescue his son from the kiss of Judas? Because he loved you. Why didn't God send 10,000 angels to rescue his son from Pilate's court? Because he loved you. Why didn't God send 10,000 angels to cause the people to choose Barabbas instead of Jesus to go to Calvary and let Jesus go free? Because he loved you. Why did God look down and see his son beaten once and twice and three times and four times and five times and six times and seven times, 39 times beaten with a whip, had a handle, and nine little whips with hunks of lead on it? God the Father looked down and saw wicked men take their hands and beat his own son on the cross, and God could have stopped it, but God didn't, because he loves you. He loves you. You sit there tonight, the recipient of the purest love ever loved. God gave his son. He watched them drive the nails in his hands. He could have stopped it, but he didn't, because he loves you. He watched them take the spear and thrust it into his side. He could have stopped it, but he didn't, because he loves you. He watched them as they drove the spikes and nails in his feet. He could have stopped it, but he didn't, because he loves you. He watched them place the crown of thorns upon his brow. He could have stopped it, but he didn't, because of you, his love for you. He watched them as they made a mock throne and put a sign over the cross. This is the King of the Jews. And God could have reached down. He could have sent a tornado to kill them all. He could have sent fire from heaven like he did for Sodom and Gomorrah and taken all of them. But why didn't God do it? I'll tell you why. He wanted you in heaven. He knew that what was happening there on the cross was the only way that you could get to heaven. That's how much he loves you. How much does God love you as I measure with the measuring stick? God loved you first. Before he loved anything, he loved you. He loves you most. more than anything, he loves you. He so loves you. Indescribable is his love for you. He loved you enough that he gave his son to leave heaven and come to earth. He loved you enough to watch his son die and not intervene because of you. Now, the whole sermon is for this last point. What is the ultimate? What is the ultimate? Listen carefully. What is the ultimate expression of God's love for you? Is it he loved you first? No. He loved you most? No. He so loved you? No. He gave his son for you? No. He watched his son die for you? No. The most difficult verse in the Bible for you to understand is this verse. The verse is found in Isaiah, we'll not turn to it, 53, verse 10. Listen to it. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. Did you hear that? It pleased the Lord to bruise him. You mean to tell me when they beat the Savior with a cat of nine tails, that pleased the Heavenly Father? That's what the Bible says. It pleased him. He was pleased. Now bear in mind, he didn't want to bruise Jesus. But he wanted something else more than that. He wanted you and me in heaven with him forever. Such love, such wondrous love, such love, such amazing love, that God the Father would say, my only begotten Son is being beaten, and that pleases me. He's being crucified, and that pleases me. The nails are going in his hands and feet, and that pleases me. He's hated with the angry mob, forsaken by his disciples, betrayed by his own of the twelve. That pleases me. Wrongly tried by Judas Iscariot, and Caiaphas, and Annas the high priest, and Pilate, and Herod, and wrongly indicted, and wrongly tried, and wrongly convicted, and beaten, and crucified, and the crown of thorns on his head. And the Heavenly Father said, it pleased God to bruise him. Boy, you ought to go home and have a spell. That's how much he loves you. Don't misunderstand me. He didn't enjoy seeing his son die. But he loved you so much. He knew the only way to get you to heaven was for his son to be bruised. And God looked down and saw his son bruised. And it pleased him. That was the only way to get you back. It's an old illustration. Let me use it again. Brother Colston, stand up here. You face me. I'm God, and you're man. I made you to have fellowship with myself. I made you to walk with me and to talk with me. I love you. You're man, and you're my creation. You're my most exalted creation. I loved you before I loved anything. I love you more than I love anything. I so loved you. And God said, I want a fellowship with you. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve fellowship with God. But the day came when Adam turned his back upon God. And God had to turn his back upon Adam. And that's what spiritual death is. Brother, if you're not saved tonight, you're more dead than a person in the cemetery is. God turned his back. Now listen carefully. God wanted man back. But God couldn't simply come and force man to come back. If he had done that, God would not have been just. For the Bible says the soul that sinneth shall die. The Bible says sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Ladies and gentlemen, God told Adam and Eve, if you eat that forbidden fruit, the moment you eat that fruit, you'll die. And that means he was separated from Almighty God. And God turned his back. And then God said, what can I do? And God said, I'll send my own son. I'll send him to earth. I'll let him stay there for 33 years. I'll send him to Calvary. He will have lived a perfect life. which means he will not hold the debt for sin. And he'll go to Calvary. He'll pay for a debt he does not owe. And God's justice said, I can't just turn around and take him back. I can't even offer him a chance to come back. My justice must be satisfied. I feel so sorry for these little piddling, infantile people who think that piddling man can do something to satisfy the justice of a holy God. This little stuff that says you can get some ashes sprinkled on your head and that'll appease God. You can be sprinkled as a baby and that'll appease God. You can take the Holy Eucharist and that'll please God. Nothing pleases God but justice. God's justice said the price must be paid. Jesus goes to Calvary and pays the price. And that means when Jesus paid that price and cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That means that all of a sudden the justice of God had been satisfied. And God said, now I can turn around and I can offer him reinstatement with me. Oh, how happy God was. There's a way to get you back now and still be God. If God let you go to heaven because you got baptized, God would not be God because God would be unjust and he'd be a sinner and God could not save you. But Jesus satisfied the holy and righteous and just demands of a just God. So God turns around now. By the way, that's why though Christ did die for man, before Christ ever died for man, Christ died for God. Christ died so God could take you back. He died so God's justice could be satisfied. When Jesus died, the Father said, hallelujah, I can now turn and offer my fallen race a restoration of fellowship. And anybody, on the basis of what Jesus did to satisfy the righteousness of God, who'll come not with your merit but His, not with your goodness but His, not with your righteousness but His. Now let me show you something. Brother Colston joins the church. That won't restore the fellowship with God. He takes communion, takes the sacraments, confesses his sins to El Papa, or the El Popa, if you want to say it. That won't do it. The only thing that satisfies the righteousness of Almighty God is the payment in full on the cross of Calvary. Jesus paid it all! Any time a human being will say, I know I'm a sinner, and I know I'm under the condemnation of God, but I know that Jesus Christ paid the penalty for my sins, and I'm going to turn from my unbelief to my belief and rely upon Christ to take me to heaven. He can turn back and God receives him back to fellowship. And the great God of glory then can find the fulfillment of what eternity is all about. From the time that God through his foreknowledge looked down and saw that you and I were going to be sinners and turn away from God, God has looked forward to the moment that you'd walk down this aisle and say, yes, I'll take him. I'll take him as my Savior. And now we can have blessed fellowship. Why? Because the Father loved you so much. Thank you, Brother John. He gave his Son for you. He gave his Son to die for you. He watched his Son die for you. And let me put it this way, omnipotence let his Son die when he could have intervened. God could have stopped Calvary and let every one of us go to hell. But God looked down and saw Jesus dying. If you'll let me be a little bit irreverent, God said, whoopee! Whoopee! My Son is dying! Was he whooping because his Son died? No! He was saying, whoopee! Because now he can invite all of his creatures that he so loved to come to himself. That's the ultimate in God's love. Not that he loved you first. Not that he loved you most. Not that he gave his Son. Not that he watched his Son die. I'm talking to the same girl I've been talking all night. Shut up and listen to what I'm telling you. God pity your wicked soul. He loves you tonight. I'm trying to tell you he loves you. And you said, not only are you misbehaving yourself, but you won't let the little girl beside you listen either. Get right with God. Come to the altar after a while. He loves you. He loves you. I'm angry when somebody is hearing the best news they ever heard and yawning about it. I'm angry about that. He loved you first. He loved you most. He so loved you. We're still not to the depth of His love. He loved you enough to give His Son. We're still not to the ultimate expression of His love. He loved you enough to watch His Son die and not intervene. But we still had not reached the ultimate expression of His love. The ultimate expression of His love was when He looked down and saw Jesus being bruised and crucified. And it pleased Him. It pleased Him. Not that Jesus was dying, but that through that death, you and I could come back. And everybody that walks the streets of glory is going to come that way, or they won't get there at all. He loves you tonight. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride see. From His head, His hands, His feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were present far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my soul, and my all. I am so glad that my Father in heaven tells of His love in the book He has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest, that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Praise His holy name. He loves me. He loves you. Why don't you say tonight, because of that love, were the whole realm of nature mine, that were present far too small. When I look and see that the Heavenly Father loved me first, He loved me most. He so loved me. He loved me so much He gave His Son. He loved me so much He watched His Son die and refused to intervene. He loved me so much. It pleased Him. It pleased Him. Because now I have a way. We used to sing a song, "The Way of the Cross Leads Home." The way of the cross leads home. And that's the way that God can take you back. If you've trusted Him as your Savior, have a spell somewhere tonight for His love. If you've never trusted Him, walk down this aisle tonight and settle this matter of your eternal life and receive that God who now can take you back because Christ died for Him and for you. Shall we stand? The choir will sing.